Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And from our good bishop, Bishop Yehi, and the nearly 70,000 children of God in the 170 communities of faith in Cook, Lake, Kane, and DuPage counties that count you as siblings in Christ and share in this voice of love and grace to a world so desperately in need of it. It is good to be with you, my friends. My name is Pastor Kyle Severson, and I serve as associate to the bishop and Director of Candidacy and Mobility, which means that I accompany those in formation to become new pastors and deacons and oversee the processes for pastors changing calls and all of that good stuff. I've also gotten to work with Pastor Jason on the COVID-19 Task Force and the Constitution Working Group. I oversee worship and first call programming for our synods. You know, lots of different fun things on the Synod staff. Want to know something really exciting, though? This summer and into the fall, we have 7 ordinations scheduled. 7 new pastors and deacons who have been called to serve congregations from Lansing to Park Ridge, from the Bridgeport neighborhood to West Chicago, Arlington Heights to Geneva. Candidates for ministry just like your very own Anne McCall and Sarah Swagler, who have been patiently and persistently moving through seminary and clinical pastoral education and field work in various moments of evaluation, waiting to see the fruits of their efforts, waiting for the call to come to fruition, waiting for God's will to come to bear. Most of these folks have been on the journey for quite some time. One even began seminary in 2004 before taking a little sidetrack. And now the time has come. Praise God. The church is blessed. This morning, I'm thinking quite a bit about waiting, especially with the story of Abraham and Sarah in our first reading. Abraham and Sarah have been waiting for God's promises to come true, promises to become a great nation, to be a blessing, to have a great name, to have offspring as numerous as the stars, to have land, to have long life. But these promises seem to have borne little fruit yet. They live as immigrants in a foreign land. They misinterpret the promise to have offspring and decide to take matters into their own hands and have a child with Sarai's servant Hagar, which is division and discord. They've just been trying to be faithful, though, going where they were called to go, trying to be creative in the face of setbacks, responding to commands to circumcise himself, his sons, his male servants, and more. Even if he's confused, and impatient, disappointed and anxious, Abraham refuses to let go of God's promises. Dear church, I'm wondering what you are waiting for. What do you wait? Rest from the hectic pace of everyday life? Healing from disease? Peace to wash away your deepest worries? What do we continue to await? Access to safe and affordable health care for all? No more senseless shootings? Equity for our Black and brown siblings? What have we been promised that we continue to await? Might I say, abundant life? And so we happen upon Abraham this morning at the entrance of his tent when three men pass by, though the narrator gives us a little bit more insight. Travelers were dependent upon the kindness of strangers, and Abraham more than measures up. Abraham jumps up and offers them some hospitality, water to wash their feet, some rest out of the heat of the shade, a bit of bread to satisfy their hunger. But when he returns, he comes with a feast fit for a queen, enough cakes for feeding 5,000, a tender calf, curds and milk. Though I keep on wondering how long he kept them waiting. After all, he literally had to go and kill the calf. This is a lavish feast, far more than necessary for three men. But Abraham and Sarah do not hold back. They are present and hospitable, far different from those from Sodom in the very next chapter. And in return for their presence and their hospitality, the promise becomes clearer. I will return in due season, and you will be with child. Sarah will have a son. The promise becomes clearer. What do Abraham and Sarah do while anxiously awaiting God's promises to come true? They're present and hospitable. They welcome strangers. And in doing so, they entertain angels without knowing. The promise becomes clearer when they expect that God will show up. Dear church, we anxiously await many things, and we certainly wait for God's promised abundant life. So what is to give us hope? What is to keep us focused on these promises? What keeps us from being discouraged? Staying present, being hospitable, welcoming and providing for the stranger, expecting that God will show up. This past November, my nephew died from a brain tumor. He was 7 years old. This was certainly not the expected life abundant we trusted was in store for him. The diagnosis was a huge blow. We waited for scans and blood work. We waited for progress from the treatments. We waited for glimpses of hope. And while we waited, I'll never forget the way we received incredible hospitality from everyone around us, lavished feasts and incredible kindness, donations on GoFundMe, and more food than could possibly be consumed. Brecken wanted to be a policeman when he grew up, and so the local police department inducted him into their force, and police departments from around the country sent badges and challenge coins, hundreds of first responders showed up and drove past their house in a light parade one evening. Congregations from across the synod were praying for him and for us. People were present and hospitable. God showed up and there were angels all around. And we still cling to the promise that Brecken has now received life abundant, and we too will join him. Abraham and Sarah didn't see through a lens of scarcity. but rather gave lavishly and abundantly. For they were living into the abundance that they promised, and so too can we. Some of us will stay busy, like Sarah and Martha, preparing a way, preparing a party, and others will sit in prayer, contemplate God's promises, listen for God's call, maybe like Mary and Abraham. Hopefully we can find a way to do both, but let us refuse to let go of God's promises. For together we wait, clinging to those promises near to our heart, and in the meantime, we might just entertain angels in our midst. Amen.